This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, so the Jaguars are 0-2 on the 2013 season after a 19-9 loss at the hands of the Oakland Raiders. You know, and I was just mentioning to you that, you know, this is a 12-9 ball game here, except for the Jaguars gave up that poor punt, long punt return of 30 yards to the Raiders. They got a short field. They also had a 15-yard penalty against the Jaguars. Jason Babin on that very opening drive. You know, beyond that, the Jaguars didn't move the ball, but the defense didn't give up any touchdowns. It was mistakes on special teams, and again, the Jaguars' inability to be consistent up front on offense.
I'll give you even a bigger one.
All right.
DJ Williams lining up offsides, that gives them three.
Early in the third quarter.
Gives them 3 points after they had stopped them. You take that 3 points off, and now all you need is a touchdown at the end. And first of all, you don't kick the onside. You kick it deep, your defense gets a stop, and you have a chance to tie the game up or win it, actually.
Right.
If, I mean, just penalties, it's mistakes. Now, I know everyone's listening saying, wait a second, this offense didn't score for the first three quarters of the fourth quarter. I mean, are we trying to paint a rosy picture? No, we're talking about a team that has very little margin for error. And so that's why we bring up these mistakes throughout the game that end up, this isn't a good enough ball club to do that. You can't overcome those things.
Well, and there's a long list of mistakes by the Jaguars. I mean, they were penalized 10 times for 70 yards, and I mentioned that 115-yarder on Jason Babin. I mean, the Jaguars were going to have, on that opening drive after the long punt return, they were going to have the Raiders in third down and long, and instead it became first down.
That was a critical one as
10.
Well.
It was a critical one. So there's so many of those. We can go on and on. Let me give you some of the numbers here while we wait on Jeff to get hooked up with Gus Bradley in the Jaguars locker room. The Jaguars finished with 248 yards of offense, 214 from their passing game, but only 34 from the ground attack.
That's
and when they lost Maurice Jones-Drew in the second quarter to a foot, ankle, not quite sure.
Lower left leg.
Yep. The running game disappeared completely. Let's see. Maurice finished with 10 for 27 yards. The Jaguars 19 for 34, 1.8 per rushing attempt. Chad Henne, respectable day. 25 of 38, 241 yards, one touchdown, 92.1 passer rating.
But harassed continually in the pocket again.
And that's going to bring me to my question. Let me give you the receiving numbers here real quick, and then I'll ask. Cecil Shorts finishes with 8 for 93 yards. Ace Sanders, 5 for 64 yards. Clay Harbor, 3 for 34 and his 17-yard touchdown. Steven Burton, 2 for 23. Alan Reisner, 2 for 9. So here's my question. All the numbers aside, did the offensive line play better than they did last week against Kansas City?
At first blush, I'm going to say I'm not sure.
Okay.
Until I watch the tape.
They gave up 5 sacks.
But just from the fact that you gave up 5 sacks and you rushed for 1.8, I'm going to lean towards no.
Yes. I figured that was it, but I was going to ask
your
opinion.
Yeah, I'm going to lean towards no.
All right. Well, there's a no.
We'll watch,
Let's be firm on that one. You're saying no?
I'll say no, but listen to the show tomorrow night with Pete and I from 6 to 8. I believe JP will be hosting that, and
yeah,
I will tell you definitively what I feel about it after I watch the coach's tape in the morning.
All right. 340 yards for the Raiders. The Jaguars only allowed 114 passing from Terrell Pryor, but they gave up 226 on the ground. McFadden finishes with 19 for 129 yards. So he got on track today after a slow start last week for him in Indianapolis. Terrell Pryor, 9 for 50 yards. Rashawn Jennings, 4 for 32. He had a 28-yard run. Otherwise, it was 3 for 4. It just didn't get him started until the very end of the ballgame. Pryor, 15 of 24 for 126 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. 76.0 passer rating. The leading receiver today, Rod Streeter, had 3 for 42. McFadden had 4 for 28. The Jaguars up front on defense got a little bit more pressure, but not a lot. They finished with 3 sacks, but they didn't pressure when they needed
not
to. There were a couple of third downs where Pryor had all kinds of time and was able to find someone short underneath to move the chains.
Well, you talk about the passing numbers were not very impressive by the Raiders at all, but when you rush for over 200 yards,
yeah,
you don't
need
to throw the ball.
Yeah, today they didn't need to do a lot. They played keep away. When the Jaguars' offense was struggling to get things moving, the Raiders played keep away. Now, again, we talked about last week the Jaguars 51 of their 70 offensive plays against Kansas City required 10 or more yards to get a first down. The Jaguars didn't convert very well on third down, only 26%. Today, though, 7 of 17, much more respectable, but not when they needed to.
Yeah.
Not when they were in the ball game. They were ineffective.
Listen, for 3.5 quarters, this was an offense. Well, actually, three quarters in about 12 minutes or 10 minutes, this was an offense that struggled to do anything. I mean, late into the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly, they had about 7 yards of total offense, and they might even have less than that because they had two big negative plays. And before the final drive where Chad Henne hooked up with Clay Harbor,
right.
It was inept.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what other adjective to use.
And let's be honest, we were talking before the game about the Raiders and their defense is not exactly the kind of defense that the Jaguars will see next week in Seattle. Seattle is fast, they are talented, and they should give the Jaguars, who do not have, well, they may have Mercedes Lewis back, we'll find out. But right now, they don't have Maurice, they don't have Mercedes, they don't have Justin, and you got to go up there and try and get something going with your backup quarterback and an offensive line that has given up 11 sacks to Kansas City and Oakland.
And we know they're not going to have Justin for sure.
Yeah, he can't
play. That's a guarantee.
Yeah, he can't play for two more games.
Now, we'll wait and see.
The third game, actually.
We'll wait and see about Mercedes and MJD once the injury reports come out this week and the week of practice. And we'll ask Gus Bradley, we'll ask him today about MJD, but we'll find out during the week if Mercedes Lewis is going to come back.
All right, at one point in the fourth quarter, I said the Jaguars need to get something here that they can work with, something they can build on this week on the practice field when they're working out down in San Jose. So my question to you is, did you see anything at the end of the ball game that Jed Fish and Gus Bradley can work with?
Well, I mean, it's so hard to say because defensively, the Raiders are changing what they're doing. I mean, so all of a sudden, things get a little bit more open back there because now they still blitzed and still came out to the quarterback, but you'd like to see it in the normal rhythm of the game. And listen, at least it was positive. What you can build on is this team has some resiliency. They don't quit offensively or defensively, which would be very easy to do when everything is going against you. I give the guys credit. I believe they play hard. And I don't believe they give up or quit at any point in these first two games when it was very ugly at times. So you build on that. You build on – at least you have a group of guys that want to play. They want to compete. And right now, I think that's what you got to hang your hat on.
All right, how about the Jaguars defensively? On the run defense, unofficial count here, they gave up 6 explosive running plays. And an explosive play is 20 yards or more on the ground. Terrell Pryor had 1. Darren McFadden had 4. Rashad Jennings had 1. So there you go. There are 6 explosive plays. And it looked like they were I shouldn't say all. 5 of them looked like the same run.
Yeah, trap up the middle.
Yeah. So on
and
whom
it would have been
ball?
It would have been 7 if Darren McFadden doesn't fumble.
Well, no, I counted that.
Oh, you counted that
one?
That's
a 6th run, yeah. So on whom does that fall? What didn't work in the middle of the defense? And I know you haven't seen the tape.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
But generally in a trap, are we talking about somebody being out of
position?
It's
run fits. Yeah, it's your run fits, your gap control, and making sure you're doing your job and not letting your eyes deceive you. You know, they did a good job of trapping. One time it was a blitzing linebacker and Geno Hayes. A couple other times it was the down lineman, and they just got up right underneath that pulling guard. And the linebackers were getting covered up and at times over-pursuing. Whether they're looking at the quarterback or worried about the read option, who knows. But it was a very successful play, and obviously the Raiders saw something on film this week that felt like that was something they could get after the Jaguars with.
All right, now the pass defense, it's awful difficult to say because they only you're talking about a quarterback
who's not very good at throwing the ball.
No, and Denarius Moore and Rod Streeter are certainly not the caliber of some of the receivers the Jaguars are going to see in the next couple of weeks. And he's not the quarterback that Russell Wilson or Andrew Luck or Sam Bradford or Peyton Manning
Keep
or Philip Rivers. That's the
Keep
next
going.
5.
Don't forget Colin Kaepernick, number 6. Oh,
yeah, well, okay. Yeah, that's 6, yeah. Before the break.
I'm not sure who they go after that. But,
well, it doesn't, yeah.
I mean, your point is you're exactly right. They're good quarterbacks coming up.
All right, let's go to the locker room. Jeff Lockerman is standing by with the Jaguars head coach, Gus Bradley. Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. Gus, certainly tough sledding for the offense once again this week. How can you get them going?
Well, you know what? A team that makes a few mistakes generally has the best opportunity for victory. And right now we're making too many mistakes. I think we had 10 penalties, and they came on critical times. And, again, too many long situations. And we have to really take a good hard look at what we're doing. You know, I know as far as the scheme and things, it's good, but I think we really need to take a look at what do we do best and what can we execute the best, and then just pare it down and do those things.
When you talk about mistakes there to the start of the second half, which, you know, you would like to find the offense, get a rhythm in the second half. I mean, I'm looking at my notes here. You got an offside. You basically a turnover to where you give the Raiders the ball back, and then hold on a punt return. Denard had a touch on a punt, field position. That doesn't help the offense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You know, and issues like penalties, they hold us back. And you know what? And that's part of being disciplined. And we have to be more disciplined in there. And then as coaches, we have to, you know, adhere to strict adherence to those, to our philosophy, and to what we challenge our players to hold, be held accountable to.
The Oakland Raiders offense, I don't know if they so much what they did, but they had a lot of opportunities and were able to have a little success on the ground, but your defense still kind of held the Raiders down to a reasonable point total.
Well, you know what? We held them down, and you know, but I think sometimes there are some explosive runs, and it goes back to, you know, maybe they hit a run, and then another guy thought he had to overcompensate for somebody else, and that just is, you know, really stay true to it and trust that your teammate's going to get it taken care of. And you know, but I thought we did a nice job getting some of those things corrected, you know, that hurt us in the first half. And, you know, we're holding in there on defense. And that's what I told the guys in the team. Right? We're competing, but we just have to play smarter.
How much would it help? And I'm not trying to make excuses here. But, I mean, you're missing a lot of components on offense. Change your quarterback in week two. But Mercedes Lewis, Justin Blackman, to get some consistency.
Well, I think those things are important, but you're right. We're not, you know what, we're all professionals here. And next man's got to stand up. And we have a high standard. And the only way you can get better is if you continue to have that high standard. And we have to challenge our guys to meet that. So, and when I say our guys, I'm talking about players and coaches alike. And, you know, we'll get it figured out.
Maurice Jones-Drew in the first half. Charles Woodson comes over the top, ends up making what was really a spectacular play if you're a fan of football. Maurice leaves the game, doesn't come back. What's the report on Maurice?
Well, my understanding is he has a sprained ankle. The x-rays are negative, so that's good. You know, we'll just have to, you know, ice him down and reevaluate him further tonight and then also tomorrow morning.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that's head coach Gus Bradley, and there you heard the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Uche Wanneri left the game in the fourth quarter but did come back and re-enter, and so those are the only two injuries of note at this point. Our postgame show is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started and maple finished. We're back after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the O.co Coliseum in Oakland, where the Jaguars have fallen 19-9 to the Raiders, 0-2 to begin the season. That's not the distressing part if you are in the locker room right now as a part of that defense. The Jaguars gave up 226 yards on the ground, 129 to Darren McFadden. And Jeff Loggeman is with the guy who takes those numbers seriously, Paul Posluszny.
All right, thank you, Brian. Paul, Brian just rolled off the numbers, over 200 yards rushing for the Raiders, McFadden over 100. Your offense is not productive. You know, you were quick to point out, hey, you know, we got to do our job.
And that's the disappointing part for us defensively. You know, we wanted to take a step forward this week, and we really did not play well against the run at all. You know, over 200 yards is unacceptable, and that's something that we cannot have if we want to move forward and become the type of team that we want to become.
How does Terrell Pryor affect that play because of the read option and his ability to stick that ball in a running back's stomach and then possibly pull it back out and keep it himself?
Well, it changes things for us. It definitely makes it difficult, but it's something that we're gonna have to adapt to. We're gonna see it, you know, throughout the teams we play and throughout the NFL. So we have to be able to be very disciplined with what we do from a schematic standpoint, and everybody needs to be where they need to be on the field. When we're not like that, when we misfit the run, this is what happens, you know, the results of today.
As a team, a lot of mistakes in this game, particularly early in the second half. Some on special teams, some on defense, penalties on defense. That's got to get cleaned up.
I mean, to be a successful team, we cannot make the type of mistakes that we made today. You know, we're giving the opponent opportunities. You know, in this league, everybody is so good, we can't do stuff like that. So that's something, I mean, mentally, we have to clean that up. Moving forward, we have to get rid of that, that part of our game. We can't have that.
All right, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right. Paul Posluszny from the Jaguars locker room, frustrated, as you can imagine, over the Jaguars' inability to stop the run today. You know, I remember a guy once saying to me, stopping the run is an attitude. How much of what you saw today is not an attitude? How much? Because everyone's going to talk about wanting to stop the run. How much of it? Well, let's go to Cecil Shorts, who's in the locker room right now. 8 catches, 93 yards. You're off the hook with that tough question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Loggy.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Cecil, solid day for you numbers-wise, but it really not much to do with anything because the production wasn't there on offense, is it?
No, we had too many mental errors, too many penalties, and, you know, to win in this league, you can't have that. The least, I guess the less penalty team, you know, wins games. We're doing a good job of taking care of the ball, but we're killing ourselves with mental errors, mistakes, and penalties, and, you know, we have to, that's on us, we have to improve on that.
How difficult is it to improve in those areas when it seems the lineup is changing from week to week?
You know, that's the name of the game. You got to be professionals and be on top of your job. And, you know, we're going to watch film tomorrow and learn from our mistakes and try to get better next week.
What does the head coach say to a team, and what does Jed Fish say to an offense after a game like this to get that focus back and to move forward to make progress?
Well, you know, he definitely pointed out times in the game where we came in and said we definitely competed to the end, which is a positive. But, you know, like I said, he came in and said we can't have penalties, can't have mistakes, you know. We can't put our defense in situations like that. We had the ball on the 45-yard line, and then three penalties, we're back on our own 15-20. We can't do that. And that's on us as an offense. So we got some work to do.
Thank you, Cecil.
Thank you.
All right, there's Cecil Shorts. Tony, they got him involved earlier today than they did last week. And we saw some productivity from him late in the ballgame as the Jaguars were trying to get anything going. How much more effective, and this may seem like the simplest question possible, but how much more effective is Cecil Shorts going to be when there's at least Mercedes Lewis on the field in the next couple of weeks?
Let me say it this way.
Okay.
Cecil Shorts is the only player on offense with Maurice Jones-Drew out that has any NFL experience in any I mean,
any
he's the guy. He's the guy. Now, Ace Sanders showed up nice at the end of the game and made some great catches. And I'm not saying he can't become one of those guys, but right now, I mean, it's Cecil Shorts. So you right. have to get him involved. You have to go to him and try to get him with some confidence and some momentum early and see what you can get going. But right now, I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It's a struggle on offense. And I agree with Cecil. It's mistakes, mental mistakes, and the penalties. But it's also just making plays. It's winning. It's winning a play. It's winning one-on-one mashups. It's blocking. It's creating some space for the running game. It's, you know, getting your guys healthy out there that are able to take advantage of those situations.
And that kind of ineffectiveness on offense puts a lot more pressure on the defense.
It's unbelievable.
Let's get back real quick to my question about the Jaguars' run defense. You know, they did a pretty good job on Jamaal Charles. Today they did not. What's the Jaguars' true personality against the run?
I think they're a solid defense. They're not a great defense, obviously.
Well, no, they don't have a pass rush.
No, but they play hard. But I don't put this on the defense. Yes, I like Paul Posluszny. I like what he's saying. They can't give up over 200 yards rushing. A couple big explosive plays. Gus mentioned those. They had clean up. But, Brian, the first four, I mean, into the late fourth quarter, the offense had the four possessions, four three and outs. They had less than 7 yards of total offense. That translates to this. No time of possession and your defense on the field the entire time. There's only so much those guys can do. This offense has to become more productive.
All right,
they have to move the ball.
It's Sunday night. A lot can happen between now and next Sunday. Let's say Mercedes can play next Sunday. Can they be more effective against a much better team, or is this offense a ways away from even being able to be competitive?
Well, here's the problem. Next week you play one of the best teams in
That's
the entire NFL.
That's exactly what everyone who's listening
and
is
so
thinking
even
right now. How in the world are they going to move the ball next week?
So even if you get Mercedes Lewis back, I mean, are you going to have MJD? I mean, I don't have any confidence that he's going to be able to play. I don't think he ever came out of the locker room, did he?
No, he didn't.
And
he did, with an ankle sprain.
Listen, nothing against Todman. But is
or
that who
Justin Forsett or any of
or
those guys.
Or Denard Robinson.
But they're not game breakers like Maurice Jones-Drew.
And you got an offensive line that, frankly, is struggling a little bit right now.
All right, folks. Jaguars.
And so, I'm not trying to paint this bleak picture.
Well, I think
everyone
who's
listening realistic.
Understands
now,
what it is.
The flip side of it is, listen, I've seen crazier things happen on Sundays in NFL games where – you know, games that you thought were going to be one way for sure and there's no chance another team could win, and the opposite happens. So You know, but they, this is a work in progress. And what I'm afraid of, but I want everyone to be realistic of, you're going to hear that. That's going to be the theme this year. We're not saying that as a bailout. It's not a cop-out. It's reality. This is a process. They had a roster last year that was not very good, and they gutted it. And they're going with young players. And young players make mistakes.
We saw that on special teams.
And we've seen that on special teams. We saw that on offense. We have guys who were not on this team 10 days ago that started today.
One
played
got a touchdown.
Significant roles. I don't know anywhere else in the NFL that is happening this year. I don't know anywhere in the NFL that that's happened in the last several years. Now, I know as fans it's very frustrating. And because they have been around, they didn't just get here like Gus and Dave and Shad.
They're carrying the sins of the past and holding them up.
Exactly right. So, you got, and I hang in there. Be patient. This is going to be a work in progress with a young team that I believe will get better as the year goes on. I think they're better once Mercedes Lewis gets in there. I think they're even much better when you get Justin Blackmon. Now you have Blackmon and Shorts. That's a nice 1-2 receiver combination. I worry about Maurice Jones-Drew. I worry about that ankle nagging throughout the year. And we saw the play. Watching the replay, it didn't look like – it looked like it maybe twisted just a little bit. It didn't look like a bad twist or a bad sprain on the field. But when you're already injured there, it doesn't take a lot. And so I do worry about the running game and Maurice Jones-Drew.
Work in progress. We'll stick with that theme because that's exactly what it is right now. And hopefully the Jaguars can make some progress this week and get ready to go to Seattle and fare better, at least have a better showing against a Seattle team that many are picking be a Super Bowl contender.
Big game tonight against the San Francisco 49ers.
Chance to see that. All right, time for our Bud Light play of the game, and it's a fourth quarter with just under 3 minutes left to play. The Jaguars had the ball deep in Raiders territory, and they were looking for their first touchdown of the season. Anything to build on. Chad Henne had his team lined up. Jaguars in the red zone for the second time today. Back in the first half, they settled for a field goal. Empty backfield, a tight end and four receivers. Henne under pressure, plants, turns, throws, and this one's caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Jacksonville! Clay Harbor! And Clay Harbor, who was signed to the Jaguars roster just 2 weeks ago when he was claimed after Philadelphia cut him on final cutdown day, grabs the touchdown. The Jaguars get on the board. At least we're not asking that, hey, when is the first touchdown coming? That was something I really didn't want to spend the week focusing on. Hopefully the Jaguars can get Mercedes and Maurice back out on the field and have a better week of preparation. Well, I shouldn't even say that. I don't know how the week of preparation was. Better results next Sunday. I'd like to thank a lot of people, by the way. Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. A lot of folks make our broadcast happen from our end here. Brent Martineau on the field, keeping us up to date with the injury situation with Maurice Jones-Drew, with Uche Nwaneri. Appreciate Brent Martineau for all of his work on the sidelines today. John Dineen makes the trip with us every single week from Atlantic Beach. We certainly appreciate his help in keeping this broadcast on its feet and moving along. Scott Kushner is our engineer. He pushes all the right buttons, and maybe I'll let Buscelli tell you how much he appreciates Joe Fortunato.
Oh, we love Joe Fortunato. There's not a better producer in the business, even if he deserves a good rib shot every once in a while. He's the best.
He's the bestest, folks. We love him.
He's my favorite. I look forward to taking a good shot at him here in a second as soon as we get off the air all his beautiful work today.
And, of course, Jeremy Ratliff and J.P. Shadrick and Linda and Ed and Jay Gray and Marco and I don't want to forget anybody, but the entire crew that puts the pregame show together, they're now coming back with you on the other side of this next commercial timeout to keep the show rolling along. For Tony Buscelli, Brent Martineau, Jeff Loggeman, I'm Brian Sexton. Final score from the O.co Coliseum in Oakland. Unhappy for the home team. Well, for the home team where you all are listening. 19-9, the Raiders win it. Jaguars stay here on the West Coast to get ready for Seattle next Sunday. That'll do it. Have a great night, everybody. You're listening to the Jaguars postgame show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Back inside the HenneyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville, the final score from the Coliseum in Oakland, the Raiders over the Jaguars 19-9. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Marco, let's get into this thing. The Raiders pounded it out on the ground after getting an early lead. Had some field goals. Defense kind of stiffened to cause those field goals. But that, there aren't many bright spots again today. The late touchdown for the Jags, 19-9. The Raiders are now 1-1. The Jags are 0-2.
We got to get something going. I mean, I understand the rebuilding, but there are some plays out there that I think that were left out there. And specifically, when you talk about the penalties, you know, they stop drives. You have veterans that are making these penalties. You talk about Babin, two penalties. Both times, they kept drives alive. Simple penalties on the special teams where you see the offsides that kept a drive alive. Those are the type of things that is not so much of a talent thing, but a mental thing. And those are things that can be corrected and they got to get corrected.
Chad Henne today, 25 of 38 passing, 241 yards, a touchdown, a rating of 92.1. But, you know, a lot of that was later in the ball game when they had some room to move the ball down the field.
I think it with a little help. You know, Henne's going to be as good as the people out around him. You know, we talk about Schwartz and how dynamic he is and how important he is to the offense. Really, with Maurice Jones drew out, the only player offensively that can get something going. Early in that game, he wasn't aggressive at going after the ball. There were opportunities where him and the defensive back both had chances to get the ball, and he didn't win those battles. And if he's going to stand up and become that elite player, it's just his second season, though. But, you know, he's thrust into this position to have to be the one to make those type of plays. Those are things he's got to do. He's got to get more aggressive, at least early on in the game. At the end, he came up with some nice catches. But early on, when they needed it the most, didn't make those big plays that you have to have out of a big play, big-time receiver.
Maurice Jones-Drew today, 10 carries, 27 yards, left the game with what they're calling an ankle sprain after the Superman diving grab by Charles Woodson brought him out of the ball game. But, boy, you don't have Jones-Drew, it's a totally different world.
Makes a big difference. We talked about it in the last game, how he wasn't used early in the game, and it made a big difference in the way the offense was able to roll. They were moving the ball with Maurice Jones-Drew in that game. He came up with some big third down conversions. He went out and you saw a big portion of offense. I mean, prior to him coming in, he had, I think it was only about 20 or so plays, and he had 11 of those, with 10 of them being his carries and a reception. Made a big difference. You take him out and you see that even affects the offensive line. Now they got to get back into this pass catching, this pass protecting mode, as opposed to being able to run block more often. It definitely affects things with him not having him out there.
Okay, Marco, let's get into the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game today.
What you got?
Let's start off number one.
Okay.
A team bright spot today. What was the bright spot for this game as a group, maybe a unit?
Whoa, in the black hole, it's probably hard to find something. But let's say, I'll say the defense. Just holding up as it pertains to making Janikowski, making the offense kick field goals. They had their backs against the wall on several occasions, but they only gave up three. I think that's something they can hang their hat on. That gave the team an opportunity to stay in the game. This could have got a little bit more offense. If you're only giving up 19 points, you know, there's a good chance you can get a little offensive productivity. You can win those type of games.
Number two, best individual performance for the Jaguars today.
It's going to be, you know, what a guy just came along, a Harbor, the tight end. He did a good job of standing in that position where we need, where Mercedes Lewis is. You know, got a big catch on the conversion on the third down, got the touchdown catch. Even on special teams, you saw him going down and contributing there. Harbor, I think, was a very bright spot in the team this week.
Harbor, three catches, 34 yards, and that late touchdown. Finally, Marco, most important question, what's it going to take to get a win for this team?
Get everybody back that make a difference. You figure, you know Justin Blackman, you know, for a couple more weeks. Mercedes, hopefully he can come back soon. Get MJD healthy. That right there is going to significantly help the team, because what it'll do is it'll allow the offense to score some points to help this defense that's preventing other teams from getting in the end zone. They need some help defensively, and they're only going to get them if they can get those key players back to make a big difference offensively.
Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game. Again, the final score from the Coliseum in Oakland today, the Raiders over the Jaguars in Week 2. 19-9, the final score. We'll come back in just a moment. Take a listen to the Metro PCS Sexton Summary, the highlights from today's game in Oakland. That's right after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars Postgame continues right now.
Back inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville, the final score in Oakland, California today. It's 19-9, the Raiders over the Jaguars. The Jags fall to 0-2 in the early season. The Raiders improve to 1-1. And now let's take a listen to the Metro PCS Sexton summary, the highlights from today's game. The Jaguars offense, 3 and out on the first drive, 1 yard, and punted it away. Big return back to the Jaguars' 38-yard line, a 30-yard return set up a short field. That was the case a lot last week early against Kansas City. This time, Marcel Reese caps it off with a 10-yard touchdown for the Raiders.
Pryor and Reese in the backfield, 3 receivers, 4 in motion. Here's Reese, the big fullback's running inside the 5, breaking a tackle, reaching, lunging, touchdown Raiders.
Boy, and that new contract that he just signed on Friday.
7-0 after the extra point. Raiders on top with just under 11 minutes to play first quarter. Jags next possession, 6 plays a punt. After that, 8 plays a punt. Then they finally got the ball back, starting on their own 13-yard line. Chad Henne drives the team 78 yards on 15 plays. They eat up 7 minutes almost, and it's capped off by a Scobie field goal.
So here's a 27-yard field goal attempt, the first of the year for Josh Scobie. The snap, the placement, the kick up on the way. It is good. And the Jaguars are on the board. They trail 7-3 here with 7:45 left to go in the first half.
Yep, 7-3. First offensive points of the season for the Jags there. Ensuing possession, Oakland driving down, and Janikowski, who is pretty much automatic this time, a break for the Jags. He missed.
There's the snap, the placement, the kick up, end over end, and he missed it. He missed it to the left. Sebastian Janikowski missed it.
That doesn't happen often. 7-3 the score in the second quarter. Janikowski, the next drive, though, would connect on a 46-yarder, make it 10-3. That was the halftime score. The Jags in the first half had 4 punts and a field goal and 5 possessions. So the second half rolls along, and it's a Janikowski show again. That seems to be the case throughout this series, at least all time, at least the last 5 meetings. We'll get to that stat in a minute. Janikowski halfway through the third quarter from 30 yards.
Here's Janikowski with an easy little chip shot. He gets it. And it's 13-3.
13-3 at that point. Jaguars offense continued to struggle in the third quarter and on into the fourth quarter as well. Janikowski early in that fourth quarter, just about a minute in, would hit another field goal. This is from 29.
Here's Janikowski's field goal attempt from 29 yards. He nails it. 16-3.
16-3, make it 19-3 with 6 minutes to play on another 29-yard field goal for Janikowski.
Here's a 29-yarder, and he's got all the leg he needs for that, times two. 19-3.
Fourth field goal of the day, missed one. He could have had 5. 19-3 at that point. Jaguars got a break, though, in the fourth quarter later. McFadden broke off a big run again, but he didn't take the ball all the way to the ground, and Cyprian, the heads-up rookie, just happens to pounce on it.
Jaywan Airy, 2 backs and 2 receivers at the 23-yard line. And here's the handoff to Darren McFadden, bottled up, looking for room, tries to escape, and does. He's got blockers in front. Look at him go across the 30, the 35 and the 40, pushing his way across the 48, and he lost the ball. Was he down? To the 49. Nope, Jaguars ball. He lost the ball.
They reviewed it, and it was Jaguars football. The ensuing drive, the Jaguars would cap it off with 2:53 to play. Chad Henne to Harbor, a 13-yard touchdown, the first of the year.
Empty backfield, a tight end and 4 receivers. Henne under pressure, plants, turns, throws it. This one's caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Jacksonville, Clay Harbor.
Clay Harbor, 13-yard touchdown reception. 2-point conversion failed, 19-9. That would be the final score
of the situation, in my opinion, because 3-2-1, and
it's
that's
over.
Ball game.
Yep, it's over. Raiders win 19-9, and the Jaguars fall to 0-2, and 2-8 all time out here on the West Coast.
That is the final score. It is 19-9. The Raiders over the Jaguars. That was the Metro PCS Sexton summary with no signed contracts. Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. When we come back, Marco Coleman rejoins us. We'll break down this ball game a little bit more as the Jags fall in Oakland today, 19-9. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back in Jaguars postgame from the HannanyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. The final score in Oakland today, 19-9, the Raiders over the Jags. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Glad you're along with us tonight as the Jags finally get on the board offensively with a field goal in the second quarter. A late touchdown in the fourth, not enough today. The Raiders controlled the ground game. Certainly with the lead, it was 10-3 at halftime. Melted the clock away later in the game. And the Jags fall to 0-2 with a loss today, 19-9, the final score. And Marco, we're sitting here looking at the scoring summary. And a note about the Raiders-Jaguars series. Janikowski, in the last five meetings between these teams, the Raiders and the Jags, this year, last year, 2010, 2007, and back in the 2004 season, the Raiders have scored 74 points against the Jaguars in that time in five games.
Mm-hmm.
Janikowski, 43 of those 74 points. So the Jags D has held them, but Janikowski is a weapon.
Well, Janikowski was a first-round draft pick, wasn't he?
That's right.
That's what the Raiders got him for. I mean, he does it. I mean, it was a shocking miss that he had. I mean, that's a chip shot for him.
That's right.
I think it was about a 30-yard field goal for him. That's you know, not common that you see him miss those field goals. I think it was he had made 50 consecutive kicks prior to that one or something like that, or at least at that distance somewhere. I may have my statistics a little wrapped up, but 30-yard miss for him is out of the ordinary. That's for sure.
If we're talking field goals and a loss, it's probably not a very good day for the Jaguars. That's the bottom line of it. 19-9, the final score.
Especially for the other team.
That's the truth. Sacks today. The Jags offensive line gave up 6 sacks last week to Kansas City. Today they give up 5. I believe 4 of those were in the second half, Marco.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an issue with the blitz. You see, last week with the Kansas City Chiefs, they had a big time with picking up the blitz. And again, when the Raiders decided to blitz, guys came free. Henny is not the most mobile guy, of course, but in a lot of times in this game, you could tell they were blitzing. But you didn't see any audibling, any changes of the play, no changes of any routes or anything of that nature, and you had people come by. You didn't see any change in the blocking scheme. So that's got to get taken care of. I think that will be a really good place to start to correct the sack situation. Being able to handle the blitz is the National Football League. They're going to blitz. And you're gonna. Well, I'm not sure. Haven't watched a lot of Seahawks. Not sure, but I think they rush a lot of just 4-man rushes. But if one coach sees you can't handle the blitz, guess what you're gonna see the next week? A lot of blitz. So handling the blitz will definitely help in the pursuit of stopping an offensive lineman. They got a block. Monroe had a little issues today in blocking. I think coming up the middle, those guys had a little blocking. Whenever these running backs get caught on, for some reason, they're getting the running backs caught on defensive linemen in the blocking schemes. They can't block defensive linemen. So it's got to be some changes in the blocking scheme.
19-9, the final score in Oakland today. The Raiders over the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. On the Jags defensive side, though, 3 sacks today. Poslesny had one. Mincy had one. Dederick had one. Geno Hayes had a pretty good day today running around at linebacker.
He was a sure tackler today. I mean, he was all over the field creating some things, too. You figure he had, I think they had maybe 4 tackles for loss. He had a couple of those tackles for losses. He was in the right position to make the sure tackles. But an issue that the defense had was every time that they did tackle, the Raiders were able to fall forward. I mean, there was no momentum stopping tackles. I think Cyprian had a couple of good hits in the receiving area. But other than that, against the run, whenever McFadden, Pryor, Reese, when they took the ball and they ran, they fell forward 2 and 3 yards. Those linebackers, the front 7, they've got to get more with an initial contact, stop it right where it begins. The front 7 as a whole, they got to handle that run. They did not do a good job of that today.
Putting you on the spot here, Marco. Mm-hmm. Offensive, defensive player of the game.
Defensively, I would have to say Hayes. I mean, Hayes was very consistent, was where he was supposed to be.
10 tackles.
He did a really good job, and he was a sure tackler. So I would have to say Hayes had a really good game. Although Cyprian did a good job, you know, making some really good tackles, coming up with the big fumble. I thought that was a big play, especially for him, I'm sure, building a little confidence for him as a rookie. A
couple of hard hits over the middle,
really
too.
Really good. Yeah, he did a pretty decent job. Offensively, to be honest with you, Henny, I didn't think Henny did anything wrong. He did not. He did all the things right to keep the team in a position to win the game. He didn't throw any interceptions. sometimes those sacks weren't so much of his fault, but that, you know, just the protections weren't in the right place for him. Guys got to just block for him. He needed some wide receivers that could go and get the ball. And this league is not going to be as simple as a ball just being thrown in your breadbasket. You got to go and take the rock. And they didn't. Cecil Shorts, he's not that. I don't know if he's that kind of player. I got to see that out of him. And without Blackman, they don't have a offensive threat in the receiving that can attack the football like Mercedes, like Blackman. You know, these guys, Ace, Shorts, you got to throw the ball to them as opposed to them going and taking the ball. You know, they're not that type of wide receiver. So I would say offensively, I'm going to actually say Henny. Henny and Harper, the new guy.
Harper, well, that's two guys. You got to pick one, Mark.
Yeah, pick one. I'm going to take Henny.
Okay.
You know what? And a guy that he calls earlier, later on, I think he'll call us, Marvin, I believe that's his name, or Melvin, something like that. He's been on me about Henny, too, because I was a big-time Gabbert guy.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting.
It'll be interesting for the local folks around here to listen to a little later.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. When we come back, we'll break down some of the stats from this game for the Jags. It's a 19-9 loss today. The Raiders over the Jaguars. More after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along. The unhappy final today in Oakland. The Raiders over the Jaguars 19-9. Back inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman in Jaguars postgame. In this portion of Jaguars postgame, presented by Gate. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate tonight. Well, the final score, 19-9. Some of these team stats here, Marco. We look at the total yardage in the game, 340 to 248. Raiders win that. Rushing yards dominated by Oakland, 226 to 34. The Jags with only 34 on the ground today. Passing. The Jags outgained the Raiders 214 to 114, but boy, the big stat that, at least to me, stands out, penalties. 10 penalties, 70 yards for the Jags. Not only that, but they were in just key situations, turning point situations, where you just can't have a penalty.
Yeah, exactly. You figure, especially the one with the on the special teams, with the offsides. I mean, that gave them that's almost like a turnover. You allowed them to prevent you from taking over the ball. They kept the ball, got the first down. Fortunately, the defense was way able to hold him. I mean, that was a good deal with the defense. Babin kept some drives alive, so put more pressure on the defense by having those penalties. And the type of penalties that, you know, really are penalties you got to be able to control, especially I think the penalty on the special teams was by a young guy. But with Babin, those two penalties are crucial. A veteran, you just can't make those type of plays. Joko, two back-to-back offsides penalties. I mean, really. Those are the type of things that you got to avoid that are correctable. I mean, you can say maybe because of a young team, those things, but these are some simple things. Joko, your first-round pick, offsides back-to-back, you can't let that happen. So the penalties, like you said, were a big Achilles heel today for the team.
Rushing yardage individually, Maurice Jones-Drew, 10 carries, 27 yards, left the game with an ankle injury, and no real news from Gus Bradley other than the x-rays were negative. They'll find out more tonight and tomorrow, most likely. In Gus Bradley's press conference, if there's any more. Henny, two scrambles, 9 yards. Todman, 5 carries, 7 yards. The running game almost non-existent. Henny passing today, 25 of 38, 241 yards, a touchdown. No interceptions, a rating of 92.1. As you mentioned earlier, for the kind of day that it was, he didn't go and lose the game for the Jags, at least passing the football around.
Henny did enough for the team for a team win. If you get those things on the special teams that not have those type of penalties, if you get the defense to, you know, not give up so many on the rush, because what it does, it allowed the clock to run and they held the ball too long. If you get the wide receivers to be a lot more aggressive in going after the ball, if you get some form of a running game, of course, that left with MJD a little bit that they had at the, you know, even when he was in the game, but you saw that was starting to come with him. So if he gets those things, you know, 92% quarterback rating, no turnovers, 66% completions. You know, he did enough individually himself to help the team win.
Receiving, Shorts, 8 receptions. He was targeted 14 times. A lot of those early. They corrected that mistake from last week. 8 receptions, though, 93 yards. Sanders, 5 catches, 64, including that 30-yard acrobatic reception late in the ballgame. Harbor, 3 for 34, and the touchdown. You mentioned Harbor a couple of times, and I really liked him today.
Yeah, he was the workhorse, I guess. He was getting those tough yards. He sure hands. He scored on the a guy maybe they weren't even paying much attention to because there was no Mercedes Lewis. A lot of attention being paid to Ace and also the Shorts. He took advantage of his opportunities when he came out and caught the ball. But, again, you got to get something out of those wideouts. You know, without Blackman, without Mercedes, you just don't have that physical presence in the receiving. You know, it's more of a finesseful deal. You know, Shorts and Sanders, small guys. They're not big targets. They're not going to really do a whole lot for you when you throw the ball into the traffic. We saw that today. The ball being snatched out of Short's hands.
Yep.
You know, you just don't see that from Blackman or from Mercedes. So until you can get those guys back, it's going to be you're going to have to make some changes. But also, Denard Robinson wasn't used at all today. And, you know, you figure you had Burton returning the kicks. I think you left some plays out there by not allowing Denard Robinson, probably one of the most spectacular players in college football for quite a while. Getting the ball in his hand and people in space, that's what he does. And he didn't get those opportunities, even on the punt returns. You know, you got Ace Sanders early on. They weren't going after him, and he's not in every play. Why not have him return punts? I think you left some plays on the field with there. I think the couple punts that were returned, he has the ability of changing the field for you. Nobody else. Will Blackman, not going to happen. So, got to go ahead and get the ball into the playmaker's hands.
You mentioned Denard Robinson. 1 carry today and no yards. He was back to the line of scrimmage. Some highlights for the Raiders today. McFadden, 19 carries, 129 yards, a long of 30. Prior passing, 15 of 24, 126, rating of 76. He carried the ball 9 times for 50 yards for the Raiders. When we come back, a look around the National Football League scoreboard. Again, the final score in Oakland today, 19-9, the Raiders over the Jags. More after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Geico has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much Geico's military discounts could save you. Go to geico.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local Geico agent today. 19-9, the final score in Oakland today. The Raiders over the Jaguars. Jaguars postgame rolls along. We look at the National Football League scoreboard. 1 game active right now. Saints at the Bucs. The Bucs lead 14-13 at the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter. All the rest are final. Well, there's one tonight about to kick off in Seattle. It's the Seahawks and Niners. But the final scores from earlier, the Falcons 31, Rams 24 in Atlanta today. Bills with a late touchdown over the Panthers 24-23. Late touchdown for Cutler and the Bears today. They beat the Vikings 31-30. Packers hammer the Redskins today 38-20. Rodgers throws for 480 yards and 4 touchdowns. The Dolphins beat the Colts in Indy today 24-20. Late rally held off by the Dolphins defense. Andrew Luck couldn't get it done today. The Chiefs are now 2-0. They beat the Cowboys today 17-16 in Kansas City at Arrowhead. Late field goal for the Chargers. They beat the Eagles 33-30 in Philly today. A last-minute field goal there. Ravens over the Browns 14-6. Overtime game in the AFC South. The Texans beat the Titans 30-24 in Houston. The Cardinals beat the Lions today in come-from-behind fashion. 9 fourth-quarter points, 25-21. Cardinals win it over the Lions today. Johnson, 6 receptions, 116 yards, and a couple of touchdowns in the losing effort for Detroit. Manning Bowl goes to Peyton. The Broncos over the Giants, 41-23. 4 interceptions for Eli Manning today in the loss. And that's a look around the National Football League scoreboard. We'll come back in just a moment, wrap up Jaguars postgame. Again, the final score in Oakland, the Raiders 19 and the Jaguars 9. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame. The final score in Oakland today, the Raiders 19 and the Jaguars 9. J.P. Shadrick, Marco Coleman. This portion of Jaguars postgame brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. Next week, Marco, the Jaguars head on up the Pacific Coast to a place they're playing a game right now, Seattle, Washington, against the Seahawks. And, boy, it's going to be a tough one.
It's going to be a tough one. A team that is definitely competing to at least thought of to compete to go to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be a really tough challenge for them. They're healthy. They have all their, you know, a real high-powered offense, defense, special teams also. So I think they should take some out of it when they go out. See how they do it. This is a winning team. How they go about preparing when they come up and warm up, everything from that to how they play. It's an opportunity to check out what it's like to be a winner.
Homecoming for Gus Bradley, too. He was spent the last 4 years in Seattle as the defensive coordinator, and it'll be an interesting personal trip for him, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure the guys on the other on the Seahawks defense want to lay it to his offense. So, you know, it's not going to be a game. I wouldn't anticipate the Seahawks looking past his team simply because you got Gus as the head coach. So it's going to be a tough game for the Jaguars. Hopefully they can get the things corrected that they can get corrected, like the penalties, the mental mistakes. You know, so get those things where they get at least get themselves a better chance to get a win next week.
Marco, great stuff as always. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week.
See you next week, Jake Pizzle.
That'll do it for Jaguars postgame. The Jags are on the road next week. They'll continue the trip on the Pacific Coast. They'll head to Seattle. It is a 4:25 kick against the Seahawks next Sunday. We'll go on air at 3 o'clock on the network with Jaguars pregame. Senior VP of Communications for the Jags is Dan Edwards. Executive Producer of Jaguars Radio, Mike Dorwart. Manager of Radio is Joe Fortunato. Tim B., Linda Fortunato, Ed Rocco are the producers. Jaguars pregame anchor Jeremy Ratliff and Jay Gray is the Jaguars pregame reporter. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night. Final score 19-9, Raiders over the Jags.